You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. It is an F off Friday. We're more football than F off today, though.
A lot of football today. We've been managing to F off while talking about football in some capacity, so that's always nice.
That is true. I was trying to run back to the show, and I'm like, what are the hard-hitting topics we got to? And I was like, I really jammed Kevin Stefanski up on Pearl Jam.
Yeah, and then he jammed you up after the fact.
It was a reverse jam.
Yeah.
And then
there was a Pearl Jam?
There was a re-jamming. I don't know what was worse, re-jamming or a Pearl Jam, but a lot of jam coverage here.
A lot of jam. Yeah, neither one was good. I mean,
we both take L's. We both retreat to our corners.
But it's been interesting. It's been fun. I always like this type of thing because we have these conversations and being here and talking about like things that'll stay with us, like Cedric Tillman kissing babies like he's a politician. Like those little things, I don't know, they just kind of stay with you for a while.
You trucking Dylan Gabriel.
Yes, that'll stay with me for a while. Yeah. And if this is the downward spiral of Dylan Gabriel, we'll know where it all started. The worst day he's had the entire camp. No coincidence that he treated me any sort of way, but almost ran into me and had no desire to go out of
the way. And then went 3-for-14 in his...
Could you imagine if I'd actually hit him now and then he went 3-for-14? Like if I hadn't done the juke move to get out of the way...
Okay, what did the juke look like?
Well, I can't stand up and do it for you now, but I'm glad we do it in between the break.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk...
Away from the cameras here, conveniently.
If you want to talk, I'll do the juke move.
All right. So JP is going to give us his juke here. He said earlier it was more of a shimmy. All right, so he's approaching.
I'm walking.
He's walking. That was more of like a 360 spin.
Oh, and hands up.
Yeah, hands up.
Hands went up.
Like that is like a full-blown Madden move. You usually have to use the L3, or I guess it would be R3. You have to use the R3 to get that kind of juke in Madden.
And like in that reenactment, I did almost fall down trying to avoid him. wild.
You know how pissed I would have been if I had to do this show solo because you broke your arm trying not to run over Dylan Gabriel?
I would have gave you more respect. Less respect for Dylan Gabriel, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Like, I'm Switzerland, and I am whatever Switzerland is to Dylan Gabriel. I would be full-on a Gabriel hater in that moment.
I was waiting for like the audible gasps around me to be like, or I was almost expecting someone from the Browns to come up and be like, "Hey, nice job avoiding him there." Like that.
So
was,
you wanted credit
that
for
was,
it?
I kind of did. I kind of want someone to come up and be like, "Thanks for not almost taking out one of the potential starting quarterbacks." Thank you for the awareness there, because he was walking as if there was not a care in the world.
There was a 3% chance.
He didn't see me coming. How does he possibly see a pass rusher coming?
Can't see over DeJuan Jones.
Can't see me coming past.
Yeah, that's true. I heard his processing speed like head in a swivel. The processing speed did not sound great here.
Hendrickson is going to put him in the ground.
Oh, I didn't see you there, Trey. So sorry.
Awareness not there for Dylan Gabriel. That's what we learned today.
There was like a Madden awareness at 40. There was a chance that I was really hoping Stefanski had like heard about this, and the first thing he said when he sat down would have been like, "What were you trying to take out my quarterback?"
Or it could have been like, "Hey, thanks. I appreciate yeah, you not taking out my quarterback."
No, that actually is his quarterback. Dylan Gabriel is his boo. He's not going to thank you for taking out his boo.
After that practice, he might have been like, "Geez, I kind of wish he would have been able to take the day off."
You know, all of a sudden, Kevin Stefanski drops down into DeLorean. Dylan, Jonathan, we got to go back. 3 hours. You're going to take out Dylan Gabriel. He's terrible.
I need you to save me from 3-14 and him just vomiting all over the football field today.
And then you just go.
They're all laughing at him online.
And then you just respond, can't do it. Sorry.
Can't do it.
Not for me. If it was Shador, yes. But not Dylan Gabriel. He stinks. He'll stink today. As we've been having the Shador conversation, it's been interesting. There have been pockets of the internet that have, let's say, have accused the Browns of sabotaging Shador. I think sabotage is the wrong word. I do think they have slow played Shador. Is that fair?
Well, so it's interesting. And I got a DM, I think, last Thursday from somebody who had showed me, like, they'd kind of insinuated something along those lines. And then they showed me where there was members of the Sanders family liking the tweets that he was putting out there. So like, I do think there was a stretch in this camp already where there's been people around Shador or even just fans of Shador that have felt like maybe he wasn't getting the right amount of attention or the right amount of at least opportunity. But like, Shador can't think that way right now. There's no way Shador thinks that way right now, because he's getting more and more each day.
And we don't have any evidence to suggest that he actually feels that way, which I think is interesting. Like, listen, I think his fan base is crazed. I think his fan base... To the extent of some of the people on social media, I think they leave logic and accountability at home. And that's as a guy who's defended Shador more in the last 4 months, or 4 weeks rather, than anybody not named Jonathan Peterlin at the staff. Like, I think there are legitimate gripes here in how he's been handled, but I think to use words like sabotage, I think you're just being a fanboy.
He hasn't been sabotaged. If anything, I could say that maybe it's not the position that Shador Sanders thought he'd be introduced to. But think about it. All he's done day in, day out is show he should be given more opportunities. And so, like, it's a long camp. He's going to continue to have opportunities as well.
But Ken's passionate rant the other day, which totally wasn't played up for cameras because he's above that sort of thing, made a national publication, or at least it did.
I didn't hear it.
Did I hear it?
Like,
it was
a
New York Post.
Was it, Mac? We didn't ask you.
You really think we didn't know what that was? What a dynamic drop!
Come on,
in.
Fella. I know you're having a day, Mac, but come on. I mean, you blew right by the stop sign.
I genuinely thought you meant New York Max. What in the bleep is going on?
I need Kevin Stefanski.
You're all morons.
To drop down with a DeLorean and go Mac. 3 minutes back.
I wish I would have been in the studio today and trucked you instead of almost trucking Dylan Gabriel.
I mean, buddy boy, that was...
No, see, Mac, the joke in the setup is the idea that Ken could not stop talking about the New York Post today and mentioned it 27 times this morning, and an alarming way, the amount of times he mentioned the New York Post.
I never knew that Ken's, like, career ambition was to be brought up by the New York Post.
That one video on the New York Post,
which is
the biggest, we saw.
Which is the biggest gossip rag on the planet.
Yeah,
it's not the New York Times.
The New York Times.
It's not the Wall Street Journal. It is the thing that if you just do anything at a loud volume, they will pick up. But it was great. I mean, good for Ken and good for his career. Ken, we weren't going to blow you up on it like this, and then Mac detonated the bit on air.
Could he have shoehorned it more into every conversation this morning, though?
You know, I was eating a burrito today while reading the New York Post.
Don't know if you guys caught today's section of the New York Post.
Oh, man, I just stubbed my toe. I'm thinking, because my mind's on the New York Post and whether I made it again today, because I made it yesterday. But anyway, so Ken.
There's a whole Ken Carmen section of the New York Post now.
I need 100 Cleveland men.
Mac's just firing clips to save his ass here.
I love that Mac jumped in as if we had no idea.
Mac is trying to turn this on to Ken as hard as he can right now.
I think it was the New York Post. Oh, okay, thanks. Thanks, Mac.
These guys really don't know. They really don't know where Ken... All right, now Ken had a went on New York Post. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Heard about this? And then today, as part of his commentary on the morning show, he went into maybe his response to that and some of the responses he got on the Shador sabotage and his response on that. I've said response on that three times. Here's Ken.
It's the most open job in the NFL. It's the only real, truly, what's supposed to be open job in the NFL. And I'm talking about being a backup. I'm not even talking about being a starter here. They should never have said, you know what? I disagree with Daryl. Daryl was right. They should have never said it was a four-way competition. It was a totally open competition. That was probably not the smart thing to do. The messaging was not right. But as far as being a backup, I think it's as open as it gets. And to give him that opportunity. And if you've got a 40-year-old quarterback that's starting the season who's a journeyman, we're not talking Aaron Rodgers here. You're on the fast track if you get that second quarterback job. So if he's able to beat out Dylan Gabriel and show what he has, guys, this is all going to be a waste of our time and our oxygen, arguing over reps in the first week of the season. I truly do believe, and talking to people who, by the way, are guys who cover the NFL, who are as cynical as they get about the Cleveland Browns, I will tell you this right now. And I got three people. Ken, you know what I think of the Browns. They are doing 100% right by Shador. They're doing 100% right by him and giving him an opportunity. Because if he would have fallen to the sixth or seventh round, to me, if he would have fallen to the sixth or seventh round, he would have had even less of an opportunity. It's a packed room. It is very much a packed room. But he has a chance with this team that he just wouldn't have with anybody else. I can guarantee you that as long as he's able to conduct himself with professionalism, and he will, that he's going to play at some point in an NFL regular season game for the Cleveland Browns. You can't guarantee that with the 31 other teams. This is the best opportunity he has.
All right. Can we just poke holes in if the whole opportunity here is a backup quarterback competition, then this every backup spot to some degree in the NFL is open.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So the idea that like that's the cherry that's being dangled here, I think null and voids everything else here.
Well, I do agree with Ken at the idea, though, that we will see Shador Sanders play in a regular season game this year.
Well, but I think so that's not what I take quarrel with. The idea that it's an open competition and then it's pivoted to the backup competition is the open competition.
Okay.
Half the teams in the NFL have backup competitions.
Right, and you're always the starting quarterback not being able to do their job away from them being able to start. And that's kind of the premise there is like, well, Joe Flacco's 40 years old and he's going to eventually have the wheels fall off and then you're going to have your opportunity.
And by the way, it can't be an open competition even for the starter, because it's three guys and one guy's getting excluded.
Yeah.
And the one guy happens to be Shador, to this point, being excluded.
Yeah. I feel like in the past couple days it's been better, though. And I feel like if I was Shador, I'd feel encouraged by that. But you're not wrong. In the lead up to this right now, he's been excluded and he's been looked at as the less than.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm okay if Kevin Stefanski builds it this way, because he doesn't like Dylan, or he doesn't like Shador as much as he likes Dylan. I'm not even talking about who got drafted first. If Kevin had no plans for Shador, his only plans were for Dylan, any way you're working him into the mix is some level of a bargain or a compromise from where you might have been in the draft. But to say this is an open competition or even an open backup competition, that doesn't mean they're doing... Listen, this was not the best landing spot for Shador, simply from the fact of he was the second rookie quarterback taken. It's hard enough to be the fourth quarterback in any room. But then to be drafted behind another quarterback in the same draft.
Yeah, second on your own team is really great.
It's so damn, especially when like you're not a developmental guy. And that was another thing that I think they leaned into today. I'm a little disappointed that Lima, the guy who sniffs out all the nonsense that teams throw out, was just like, well, you know, they think he's a bit of a developmental guy. Yeah, that wasn't the take on Shador before the draft. That conveniently popped up post-draft, and it kind of fits into the Browns' narrative here. But to say this was the best landing spot for Shador because he's getting, I mean, at the start of camp was getting five reps with the three guys who work in the closet here.
Yeah, it's just able to showcase why he deserves like, a little bit more than
in
that.
In fairness, I don't think they've sabotaged Shador. At the same point, it's not like they've rolled out the red carpet.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And giving him the keys to the kingdom and say, go ahead and take it. It's yours.
No, but I think the encouraging part, at least, and this is maybe where Ken was trying to go, is that Shador at least has been given the opportunity, and he's kind of ran with it, and then they gave him more opportunities. Like, I'd be livid right now if we got report day in, day out that Shador is looking as good as he is, and he was still just relegated to, you know, throw into whoever would possibly catch him passes.
And by the way, the Saints would be a better spot than this.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, they'd kill to have Shador in that room right now. When Tyler Shuck seems like he doesn't know what he's doing.
When it comes to the backup situation with the New York Jets, I'd rather be if I'm Shador, I have less of a hurdle to jump over behind Justin Fields than I do with Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett.
Even
here,
with the
those
Giants.
Are two guys I just thought off the top of my
head.
But
even with the Giants, though, like, it's Russell Wilson, then it's Jackson Dart. If it was Russell Wilson, then it was Shador Sanders. By week seven, week eight, you have a real chance to be out there playing.
And here's the thing.
He's got a real chance here, too. I don't want to make it seem like he does. He's got a real chance to be out of here playing.
From the reps so far, they've given Shador the bare minimum. And that it has grown. And I think some of that actually is more owed to it's owed to two things. One, Shador's earned those crumbs that the Browns have thrown him. And then two, well, Kenny Pickett hasn't been here.
Yeah.
So I think this is another sign of if Kenny comes back and is ready to go, if Shador is back to throwing to Todd in accounting, yet again we'll get the idea of this doesn't have to be about saboteurs. It also, we don't have to polish a turd like this guy's walking into the greatest, getting in on the invention of sunlight before the damn sun.
The part I get a little agitated about is the idea that Shador should be so blessed and so thankful and, oh my gosh, I can't believe, not the Browns and this great opportunity to constantly go up against 13 reps, I'd basically be playing in Canada right now. Like, that's not reality. Not reality in the slightest bit.
216-474-0092. Was this the best landing spot for Shador? I think if you had taken Dylan Gabriel out of the equation, the answer might be yes. Problem is, Dylan's here, and he is ahead of you, and he is blocking you from opportunities until otherwise stated. That and the long play with Shador in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We have a lot to get to. Mike Golic Jr. coming up in about 20 minutes. I wonder if he'll have a critique of Happy Gilmore.
You know he does.
Will he be honest like Kevin Stefanski?
I think so.
Because Kevin, I'll be honest, there was a one of us moment in that, like when Kevin said, first hour was fine, and then the movie, you know, went the way it went.
Yeah.
You and I both felt that same way about that movie, and it was like, all right.
But you could tell it also pained him to say it as well.
Yeah.
You know, like he really enjoyed the first one, and then he had to go ahead and dog it the same way we all did. It's just the reality of it.
He also, and I will tell you this, he hit on something, did Coach Kevin, at about 3:45 today, if you guys want to listen back later on the free Odyssey app, that his kids loved it. Mine did too.
So that is an interesting takeaway. Did they love it because it had like all the cutaways and because like you said, his kids have seen the first one.
I think kids are just more forgiving if you give a kid an hour of a movie that they really like. And remember, kids aren't beholden to the realistic nature of a movie like that. in the way that you and I, having covered sports for forever, at some point it jumped the shark. My kids have no concept of what is real and what isn't real in golf. So to them, that wasn't like a sucky plot point or like a pivot. It was like, yeah, okay, all right. He's the not nice guy. Yeah. He's got a problem, and Happy's going to sort him out.
I guess so. I it's surprising that young kids liked it as much as they did. But like, they wouldn't even know John Daly, for instance, in that. Like, they
didn't matter.
No,
a funny character.
They just think he's a funny fat guy that lives with Adam Sandler for some reason that no one really ever describes if you don't know who John Daly is.
I will tell you though, first 15 minutes tight. A lot of funny,
I liked
lot
first,
of gags.
That's
it's
the
really
part.
The last 30 minutes where it. But so I would like to also report, my kids did watch have finally watched the original Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
And they've said they do like that better.
Okay, that's good.
But say they like both movies.
Well, so I didn't even mind like the scenes where they cut back and everything. I thought it was good that they kind of did that and kind of explained some of it all. It just it really went. In fact, I'll couple it with a take that you're not going to like in the slightest bit. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready for it.
You're not going to like this. I watched Sinners on the flight home.
Uh-huh.
I think for like the first hour and 15 or so, that was like I really enjoyed that movie. It seemed like a very, you know me, I like practical in many ways though.
Yeah.
I don't like when movies go just a little bit too out there. And then like the final half hour or whatever it was just so many vampires and it just wouldn't leave the screen. But I was so invested in the first hour, 15, hour 20.
You had to pay it off.
I wanted it to just be what the first hour 20 was, and that's very similar to Happy Gilmore for me.
All right, now this is the tough spot, because I love the original Happy Gilmore. This did not diminish anything about the original Happy Gilmore. I did have to realize that the whole first movie, and I don't realize why I never thought about this, how unrealistic it is that a guy just picks up golf.
What was fun about it, though, is that he had such a resistance to wanting to pick up golf.
But the long drive makes sense. I'm a power hitter slap shot artist in hockey. So that the long drive makes sense.
Oh, I hated the reasoning, by the way, in Happy Gilmore too, that they just kind of cut off part of their
yes,
waist
that was just
in
ridiculous.
Order to try to make their body bend
and
more
then,
to
and
give
then
them
they
the
did
distance.
The bad AI or whatever
they
it
had
was.
To come up with a way to do it, but that was just miserable.
No, getting back to the original one.
Yeah,
it's not the fact that Happy can hit the ball 400 yards off the tee, because some people are just blessed with that kind of power. It was the chipping and putting. The fact that he ended up just being really good at that very quickly was the part where it was like, okay, none of this makes sense.
No. But he didn't, though. Remember, he had to go with Chubbs to the mini golf course because he couldn't figure out how to putt.
That's
what made it so redemptive at the end when he actually hits it through what is basically another mini golf course.
But he was still passable. Like, yes, he had his four putt with, you're supposed to go to your home.
Yeah,
why
like that's
like
the memorable scene of it. Yeah, don't you like your home?
But yeah, the point is,
like, he'd drive the green and then he'd six putt and they'd be like, I guess you double bogey.
Yeah, but
here.
he'd still be finishing like 28th and then 18th. It's like, you don't get that good at golf that quickly. You don't go from like the worst guy on tour to the 18th best guy in six tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, no argument for me there. Like, it's very unrealistic that even if you could drive the course. Like, I've thought about this before. Like, if you put me on the green, could I win the Masters? Like, you start my ball in the middle of the center of the green, and that's where I start, and I got to try to beat everybody else in the whole field. The way that these greens are set up?
No.
The way, how slick they are?
I can't handle a green in Medina County.
I know. I'd probably end up losing. Like, if you started my ball... If you started most people that are listening, if you started their ball 30 yards away, you're not winning the Masters.
Little Apple jobbed me so hard. It's a small par 3. They're greens.
Little Apple.
And they jobbed me so hard this year.
Well, they make, so it's an executive course, and they make the smaller courses like that. They make the greens incredibly hard.
Yeah, I
That's
appreciate
part of the deal.
That. Appreciate that. I was already a couple drinks deep. I might have had a couple. I was feeling good is what I'm going to say. I don't need to go to the detail. The point is I was feeling really good until I had to putt every time this year. And it was like, okay, we got in the green in two strokes there. And then we five putted.
Yeah, putting's tough, man. Like Sleepy Hollow. I mean, have you ever played there or not? Every golfer that is in Northeast Ohio that's played understands like those greens are ridiculous.
This did lead me to the question. What's the most realistic sports movie ever? Because I was trying to think of it, and I'm like, yeah, that Major League really isn't realistic. Like, the rags to riches in one season, a guy comes out of the penitentiary, and he's like a great starter. That's not realistic.
Well, now I'm like, The Rookie, because it actually happened. Is The Replacements realistic? Shane Falco, number 16 in your scorecards,
yeah,
number one,
I mean,
in your heart?
I guess so, because they were doing it up against other replacements.
Right.
I guess Rudy isn't realistic because the guy made it up.
Well, it's yeah, a lot of people, it's very contentious in Notre Dame history whether or not there's any truth to any of that. And plus, Rudy is just a D in real life anyway.
Like, people who know him are like, I just don't like that guy.
Yeah, yeah, there's no redeeming qualities there.
I thought Bull
Kingpin
Durham,
also very unrealistic in many ways,
too.
Oh,
Kingpin is just, yeah. Honestly, most bowling movies in general. Actually, Big Lebowski might be the one bowling movie that's like, that's plausible.
Well, it's a recreational league.
Yes, but that's the point. The bar is so much, like, you do have guys who are on that level.
That creep can roll.
Have guys who are just average Joes who are dominant on the recreation level, and then you put them up against Pete Weber, and all of a sudden he would fall apart like a house of cards.
Dude was a pederast.
What's a pederast, Walter? I think Bull Durham.
Well, yeah, so Bull Durham could definitely happen.
Well, it helps that Ron Shelton, the guy who wrote and directed it, was a minor league baseball player.
Yeah, like, and there's, and like, even Crash Davis getting that redemptive story arc at the very end. Like, all that could happen.
And even, if just the, like,
Kevin, I'd say a lot of Costner movies, though, have some base in some reality. Like, For Love of the Game could happen. With Billy Chappell and that whole scene. Like,
yeah.
It's not far-fetched that an aged-out starting pitcher throws a no-hitter and all of a sudden has this, like, great... Like, that could easily happen. Even
this big decision in the back of his mind, yeah.
Only thing that was unrealistic about Tin Cup in true reality is the idea that he just kept going for it at the very end. Like, even if that was his nature, he still is not going to end up putting so many balls in the water at the very end.
So the only two unrealistic Costner sports movies are Draft Day and Field of Dreams.
Yeah, Draft Day is not realistic at all.
But
and Field of Dreams, obviously not realistic.
Well, but Field of Dreams is a fantasy movie.
It's a fantasy movie.
At which point, it doesn't have to be realistic.
Right.
Can I get back to the other way that Bull Durham is realistic?
Yeah, for sure.
Costner and Sarandon, at that age, make a hell of a lot of sense. Those are two incredibly attractive women. incredibly attractive people. That level of attractive makes it. The Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon thing, it's like, which is funny because they got together
well,
in real
but
life.
That's like the origin of the cleat chaser in many ways, right? Like, that's your, as a kid, I think that was my first introduction to, so sometimes people just kind of hang around a bunch of athletes, and that's their fix. They just like hanging out.
Just hanging out.
That's
just
all it
just
is.
Friends.
Well, they're not playing Parcheesi, Nick, but yeah, they're just hanging
they're
out.
Playing something. 216-474-0092. This might be a good Mike Golic Jr. question. What is the most realistic sports movie? Because as I thought of Happy Gilmore, and certainly Happy Gilmore 2, not realistic. So I thought of Draft Day, not realistic. What am I missing? Any Given Sunday's a little too much, by the way.
Yeah, I always like the Any Given Sunday.
There is some realistic stuff in there, but it's just like everything Al Pacino does. It's like set to 11 when everybody else is set to a 9.
I'm trying to think if there's like obvious, basketball movies or something we're omitting because we went very hard with baseball and football there.
Blue Chips is definitely played up.
I just keep going back to like Hoosiers and stuff like that in my head.
What's the movie about the ghost?
The brothers that die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that, and that's not anywhere close to realistic. That didn't even try to be. That's about as realistic as Air Bud.
Until you die and find out that spirits do take over people's bodies.
And that dog could play.
Yeah. Mike Golic Jr. In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.